down to the rock. Raise your hand. Uh-oh, only a few bound to the rock? The rest of you are like waves of the sea getting bounded by everything else, right? Bound to the rock, that means that you are steady. You're not going anywhere. Things don't easily move you as a Christian. You're solid. You're planted. You're rooted. For the next 4 weeks, we will be talking about roots. Our series is entitled Rooted. And we're going to talk about the roots of our lives. And I hope that we all can be encouraged. Who can tell me what they know about roots? What do you know about roots? Nothing, huh? Yes. All right. Okay. Yes. You took out all the rocks for the roots to grow. Is that a lot of work? Yeah, have pleasant memories of that, huh? Ah, okay, all right. Yes, what do you know about?
Well, I know that from my
brown thumb. Oh, the life of the plant depends on the life of the root. All right. Yes, Michelle. What's that? Roots go deep. Okay. All right. Yes. Searches for nutrients. The root searches for nutrients. Yeah. Yeah. Good. The deeper the root, the stronger the tree. You guys know that, right? Make sure you went to school. Yes. The roots connect the plant to the life source, okay? Yes. They're tearing up your driveway. You need David Harding to come out and give you a new driveway. So they're expensive, right? Cost you a lot, okay? Yeah. That's a bad root. Yes. Somebody, yeah. The healthier the soil, the better chance of what? Survive. Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. Yes. Hard to dig up a tree that has deep, strong roots. Okay. You guys getting this? This is my sermon. All right. Yeah. Yes. Somebody over there. Yeah. Somebody had a hand up. Somebody, or maybe you're scratching. Okay. Yes. Tell us about roots, bud. Come on now. All right. Many functions. The oak tree's roots 300 yards.
A big live oak tree's roots will go out 300 yards. A pine tree's roots are small balls, just like a tree.
Huh.
A blueberry's roots are tiny little fibers that just grow in the pine box. You can barely even, you pull it up, you barely even see it. But those, not just structure, but they also provide, as you said, nitrogen from the soil.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, Farmer Childs. Yes. Anybody want? Yeah, yes. Yeah. That's free, right? Okay. Yes. They're very strong. They break through concrete, don't they, Doug? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. One more. Somebody right here. Okay, just a golfer's tip. Anybody golfing here? Okay, please do not hit your ball from the roots, okay? Because you can break your hand, your wrist. That's just free, okay? Pick it up, put it somewhere else, run out on the PGA Tour. That's just free, okay? Roots, very deep. We're going to discover how to deepen the roots in our relationships, in our marriages, in our convictions, in our joy, in our families, in our parenting, in our lives through this series. And prayerfully, we can deepen our roots. I want to tell you about a man that I was able to meet one time in my life, and that's Carlin's grandfather on her father's side. That's John Snell, Bill Snell's father. I met him before he passed away, and there was something that Carlin always told me that he said to her. He had been out of their lives for many years and came back in their lives. And Carlin said he would always say, "Just me and you. Just me and you, baby." You know, and we don't know what he meant by that, but we do know that it was an intimate terminology, and it was relational. Just you and me, baby. Just you and me. And I think about that saying, Jesus had many just you and me moments, just intimate time with God, just me and you. Throughout his busy schedule, his challenged lives, the crowds, he was able to have some just you and me moments. Look in your Bible to Luke chapter 5. Turn to Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Now, I want to begin our Rooted series with a little thought about Jesus and his me and you moments with God. In verse 12, in Luke chapter 5, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now Jesus here was, if you notice, both willing and able to heal this man that had leprosy. Giving takes effort. Healing someone took energy. Being willing to heal someone takes emotional energy. To be able to give to someone takes a lot of effort. Giving to a spouse, and those of us who are married, say amen, takes effort. It does. Giving to our children takes effort. Giving to our boyfriend, girlfriend takes effort. Giving on your job takes effort. If not, you get fired, right? Giving and receiving an education takes effort. Giving our attention to a newfound illness takes effort. Giving attention to that station in life. Life consists of giving multiple times a day. That's just life. But there was no one more giving than Jesus on the face of this earth. He gave more than anyone has ever lived. Because of Jesus' lifestyle, he had a very healthy habit. And we can learn from that habit when it comes to being rooted. In verse 16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why did he do that? Why was that a habit and a pattern for Jesus? Why do you think? Yes. to get his strength back. So giving took his strength away, and he needed to replenish it. What else? Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay, so when you're connected, you have more to give. So maybe he got a way to get more connected so that he can give more, right? Why else? Why did Jesus go away to lonely places and pray? Yeah. So he wouldn't be distracted. You don't think giving the way that he gave would distract you? Dealing with situations and knuckleheads would distract you? So maybe he went away to get more clarity in life. Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Went to a lonely place. A lonely place, he says. Yeah. 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 Jesus needed some me and you time with God. Kareem. Okay. Maybe he needed just to hear from God. Reassurance. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting a way to get real. Sometimes we're giving and perceiving needs, but we just don't have the opportunity to be real about how we feel. Maybe you needed to get away just to emote, to cry, to share, to pray, to get away. Yeah, Anthony. You know, I thought about that, Anthony. That's a great point. You know, we don't think of Jesus struggling with pride, do we? But after healing people and teaching and getting a response, even Jesus probably needed to get away to be humble again, to depend on God. I mean, if we'd have been healing people and you and I had been there, we'd have been like, yes, I'm the king of the hill. I mean, you know, arrogance would just be all around, but maybe Jesus needed to get away to remind himself that he is part human and needed to depend on God. Good point. Yeah. Vulnerable. Vulnerable. That's right. Being vulnerable. You know, just I mean, when you're in it and you're giving, sometimes we can have this shell and we can just go through life and we're like a tank. Maybe he needed to get away to be vulnerable, to express his need for God. Yeah. Yeah, it's an example. He didn't write this. He didn't say that I went off to lonely places to pray. Somebody saw him. And his disciples watched him. They saw the pace of his life. And they saw him literally going, I got to get away, fellas. And he did this often. Often. Yes. Homesick. Yeah. He was homesick. You know, we sing the song, this world is not our home. Maybe Jesus needed to go back home every now and again just to remember and escape from this world and from the weakness and the vulnerability and just life itself. Now, here's what I asked myself. He needed to get away and get rooted again. If Jesus needed it, now think about this now. If the Son of God, God in the flesh, needed it, then what about us? If Jesus needed to be rooted in this world, what about you and me? I asked myself that question. You see, I believe we cannot grow when we're constantly on the go. And this world gets us constantly moving. You can't grow. I can't grow if we're always on the go. Either physically or mentally or both. You can be retired, though, and live by... I'm not retired. But I imagine you can be retired and you can live by yourself and still need to get away. Because it's not about work or not work. It's about the work here and the work here. You can be a single mom of three and get rooted every day. And get away to a lonely place so that you can get rerooted again and deal with your children and life and your own character, etc. It's not about time. It's about quality of time. It's about the quality of time in the presence of God. Quality time in God's presence is not so much Him being there, because He's always there. He's everywhere. It's about us knowing, recognizing, trusting, and relying on Him being there. It's us getting in the position of recognizing God. When we do, we're rooted. I had the opportunity to get away for the last 3 days. I went to St. Augustine, and I'm very grateful for the time. I've been trying to get away at least once a quarter. But you know, I hadn't gotten away since our sabbatical. And that wasn't a function of my life, that was a function of me. Me. The reason of this title of the first lesson of Rooted deals with this. And it's entitled Uprooted. You know, before we can get rooted, we got to realize what uproots us. You know, for me, I can get scattered. I can be involved in many different things, and I can give my heart to many different causes. I think it's a strength and a weakness. But I really needed the time away because I felt like I was being uprooted by life. Uprooted by life. The time was there. The time was good. But I discovered that I was uprooted physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And I needed to get away again to have some me and you time with God. Now, I want to say this. You don't need to go away for 3 days to St. Augustine to get rooted. Okay? It's not about the amount of time. It's the quality of that time. You may be able to get it in 3 minutes. You may stay 3 weeks and still not get it. The issue is, are we rooted in God? You see, when I spend time with God in His presence, again, what comes to me is God becomes again my counselor. He again becomes my therapist, my coach, my father, my friend, my protector, my comforter, my metronome, and my Lord. He brings a rhythm back to my life. He slows me down. He gives me perspective. He gives me energy and direction and discernment when it's just me and you. When it's just me and you. Spending time in God's presence is not me awaiting on God's arrival. It's me being aware of God's availability. When we get away, when we go to that lonely place, and we pray and connect with God. Living day to day, being vaguely aware of God's availability, leaves me alone with me and my character and my faults, and that's not good. You see, when I'm left with me, guess what I become? My counselor, my protector, my therapist, my coach, my God. That's a lot. That's a lot on my shoulders. When this happens, when crises arise, I'm uprooted. And I want to show you a couple pictures. And this, I can't remember what storm this was, but it was a bad storm. And my grandfather's house is a house that we're trying to sell, and he willed it to me. And we heard that a tree fell on the neighbor's property. You have that? Yeah, there it is. That's my grandfather's house, the white one right there. And a tree fell from his property onto another house, which is in the corner. And so those are big roots that were just uplit. What tree? What kind of tree is that? Bud, what kind of tree is that? You know? Crepe myrtle? They're pretty heavy. You ever tried to lift one? I mean, you know, I mean, just like it's about only that big, but like this is heavy. Only a portion of it is really heavy, and thank God for Brian Buckner. Chainsaw Charlie. I mean, I called Brian Buckner, and Brian came out there. Sean and I went out there, and he started to work, and we were just picking up pieces and taking it to the corner. I mean, it was a blessing. I'm so grateful for Brian. I'm so grateful for chainsaws. It was just a blessing. But, you know, when you're uprooted in life, it kills you, and it goes and affects others that are next to you. Maybe a family member, a coworker, a spouse, a child. When we're not rooted in Christ, we kind of fall over and we become a headache to other people. And we die ourselves. You know, it's painful for us and it's painful for others. And so it will behoove us as Christians to really make sure that every day we take that time to be alone with God and to connect with Him. Go to that lonely place and remember, if Jesus needed to do it, if He was overwhelmed, tempted, tried, and He got alone with God, how much more you and I? And so when we're uprooted, there's reasons why we get uprooted. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, this is the parable of the soils, and we've talked about this, preached on it many different ways at different times, but I just want us to focus for a few minutes on being uprooted by life. Jesus speaks in parables to an agriculturally minded community, and they understood. You know, we talk about the seed being planted, they understood that, they embraced that. He connected with them. He spoke their language. They understood how harvest was important and how planting is important and seeds are important and soils are important. And he wanted to connect with them. Starting in verse 1 of Mark 4, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and set out on the lake, while all the other people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil that came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So many times we can be close to Jesus that we don't even hear what he's really trying to say. And the disciples apparently didn't really understand the parable. He had to break it down some more. And from verses 10 through 20, he really breaks it down. But let's learn from this parable. And let's learn how, if we're not careful, life can uproot us and we can miss the presence of God in our lives. And so let's look at uprooted number one. And that's found in verses 13 to 15. And he breaks it down. He says, do you understand this parable? Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? I'm going to be speaking in parables, guys. Get the point. I'm trying to connect. The farmer sows the word. It's the word of God. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. This is uprooted number one. The word of God is taken away, and our opinions and thoughts and convictions take over. They take over. Our opinions and thoughts are deeper rooted than the word of God in us. We've all experienced this. He explains the verse. You know, when he says that the word is taken away, that means to be removed. That root of the word of God that wants to multiply in our lives, it's taken away somehow. We hear it. It's sown. But it doesn't take root. How does the word of God, how is it taken away from our lives? When you hear that, what do you think of? Yes. Okay, so for some, and we've all done this, right? Christians, we've read the Bible, we've seen it, we've put it down, and it's like we've forgotten what it said, we've forgotten how it applies to us, we just forget, it's just taken away. How does that happen? How is the word taken away so quickly? Yeah. Okay, when it's hard for us to deny ourselves. Okay? So when we hear the word and we may understand it, we don't deny ourselves to follow it, obey it. Okay? All right? All right, yes, Judy. Doubt. Okay? Doubt can take away the word. Okay, so like, did God really say this? Is this really, you know, because some people have holy Bibles, they put holes in them. They go, I ain't obeying this. I mean, literally, people have torn out pages and said, this does not apply to me. You know? Yes. Life circumstances can take away the... life's circumstances takes away the word of God. Think about that. Think about that. Yeah. You got a hand up, Mom? My mother-in-law, Mom. Okay. Yes. All in our head. There's no room for God's word to really work. Yeah. But. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. If the heart, he says, is hard, then the word can't penetrate. Yeah, Jessica. Hmm. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jess. I appreciate you being open about that. I mean, you know, we feel deeply. Our feelings are deep, like deep waters. And we're sincere, but we're sincerely what? Wrong. And our feelings supersede the word of God. That's a dangerous place. Gene.
We live here on earth.
Yep. Yep. That's right. He can distract you. You ever get ready to read your Bible and something comes in the way? And you go, now, I was going to read my, I was all excited, but then before I know it, now it's midnight and day is gone. I didn't even read the Bible. I didn't even listen to the Word of God, or I reacted so strongly that I forgot what God says about this. And you know what amazes me about this first point? How quickly it's taken away. It's quickly taken away. And kind of like Bud says, sometimes you don't know how hard your heart is until you do something stupid. That's totally on the contrary to God's word. And honestly, and I've done it before, it's removed right after I preach. I can preach a sermon on something and then 3:30 in the afternoon, I'm disobeying what I preached. And I go, golly, I studied this. I prayed about that, but I didn't apply it to my heart. I wasn't ready. Because when this situation came up, I failed. I faltered. I didn't deny myself. I obeyed my emotions. And I'm like, I just preached about that. Maybe you've left a sermon, a service, worship, communion, and 30 minutes later you were arguing with your son. Or an hour later, you had a big fight with your wife. And you're like, where was the word? The word was muted. It didn't penetrate the heart. Now, this is not to discourage us. It's to humble us. It's to help us understand, maybe it's time to get away. Maybe it's time to have some me and you time. Maybe that's time. Now, uproot number two. Verse 16, others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, this is when the word causes some stuff. We hear it, we obey it, but the word of God, the direction of God, the counsel of God causes some stuff in our lives. You make that stand. I remember making a stand when I was 18 years old. I told my friends, I said, listen, I'm not going to smoke any more marijuana. I'm done. And they were like, what? You're done with what? I got a little persecution. I got a little trouble. Affliction, pressure, distress. And in some cases, we've all been there, Christians, when you make a stand, you get persecuted. In other words, people are hunting you down. They're getting on you. They're targeting you. And then because of that pressure, because of that persecution, because you maybe told your girlfriend you're not sleeping around anymore, you don't want to do it, we got to move out, we got to be pure in our lives, and she or he comes down on you like you were the Antichrist yourself. I thought that me becoming a Christian would just inspire all my friends. I saw I'm making a stand for Jesus. And like, you better stand back, Mary said, because we don't want any part of it. I'm going, wait a minute, this is God. They said, we don't care. You do your God thing. We're going to do our thing. Bye-bye. And I was shocked. But we have encounters like this. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in your own household. Maybe it's with your family. And you just don't realize how quickly things can change. In Psalm 73, 26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And it's not, he didn't say that my flesh and my heart, he said my flesh and my heart may fail. I like to have a conversation with the psalmist and say the flesh and the heart will fail. It's going to fail. It fails every day. I don't know about yours, but mine does. It fails every day, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If you're trying to do it on your power, your strength, why did it take me so long to go on a retreat, to get away and have me and you time, doing it on my power? Oh, we can do good things on our power. I'd rather do few good things on God's power than many things on my power. Uproot number 3 in verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And I just put, you know, thorns and thistles produce worries and whistles. Thorns and thistles produce worries and whistles. The worries. And all of them hear the word. Everybody has an opportunity to hear the word, it says. The sower is sown the word. The farmer is sown the word. The soil is the challenge, our hearts. And worries come in. Thorns and thistles produce worries and whistles. Worries. The word is anxiety. It's about fractured thinking. It's the opposite of shalom. It's taking different situations in life and worrying about individual situations versus trusting in God's whole big picture. God has it. He has all of it. But when I'm not having me and you time, or the me and you time that allows me to come out of that time with shalom on my mind, then I have some work to do. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." He's our ever-present. He's here. His presence is here in trouble. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the heart of sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." Bring it on! God is my refuge and strength. The psalmist says God's got our back. So that's the worries, thorns and thistles rather, the worries it produces. What about the whistles? Gene, can you do that real loud thing? Oh yeah. Here you go. Those are the whistles. "Hey, come to me. Give your attention to me." You know what whistles at us? The deceitfulness of wealth. Wealth says, "Come to me, baby. I want you. Come on. And we're like this. Where? The deceitfulness of wealth, it's a false impression. It's a delusion that wealth will do anything for your life. And then the desires for other things, passions, something we're eager to do. Now, all of it is above God. Is there anything wrong with having wealth? No. Anything wrong with desiring other things? No. But if it keeps you away from that me and you time, it's too much. So what are you going to do about it? You see, according to Jesus, how do you stay rooted? How do you stay rooted? In verse 20, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. So, here's what Jesus is saying. If you want to be rooted and planted, you must first hear the word. But wait a minute, they all heard the word. No, this rooted person hears it a little differently. They comprehend what is being said. They understand the source of who's saying it. When you come to service or you start out your day, are you comprehending what's being said, and do you understand who's saying it? Your Creator. Some of us are very, some of you, I ain't saying me, some of you are very intelligent. Some of you are very intelligent. You're quick. You're smart. You've made money. People come to you for answers. And yet no one is smarter than God. No one can maneuver through this life and counsel you better than God's word. So do we comprehend what we're hearing? And sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I'm like, Now, I don't do that physically, but emotionally and spiritually, I'm like, nope. I'm going to trust in me on that one. And so I don't comprehend the word. And the next one here is those who hear the word and accept it. Accept. Receive, acknowledge, and welcome the source. We welcome it. You know what I miss, and I think we need to get back to in this church, is having some word talk. We have a lot of talk about a lot of stuff. What about the Word of God talk? You see, that means that we're having some me and you time. We won't grow as a church. You won't grow as an individual if you don't consistently hear and accept and receive and welcome the Word of God. Amen. You can go to all the therapists you want. If you don't hear and accept the words of God, and I'm telling you to teens, to those of us who are older in the 80s, 90s, it doesn't matter. Because the Word of God doesn't change. If we don't accept it, if we let worries and entanglements of life get in the way, we will in time be uprooted. And so we're going to spend the next 3 weeks going into more detail about what it means. And next week, the title will be Rooted in the Word of God. And I want you to pray that you will examine your heart, because you know what's going to be left after this life? The words of God. I want to respond to the word of God on earth like in heaven. I want to do it quickly. I want to do it with great joy. And I want to share it with others. But it's going to take us digging deep roots. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, your patience, the love that you share. And Father, we pray that in this life when we can be uprooted in so many ways, that Father, we would seek out specifically in our lives what's uprooted us or what threatens the roots in our lives. Father, we want to be rooted in your word. We want to be rooted in your love. We want to be rooted in Christ. We want to be rooted in our relationships with one another. We want to be rooted in our families and our marriages. We want to be rooted in this community in the real way. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to dig deep roots in our lives. Father, we rely on you. Without you, we would be tossed and turned and thrown away and just destroyed. Father, I pray that you would repair the damage. Thank you for the time that we were able to be together the last 3 days and just how you've refreshed my heart. There were tears and tears of joy, tears of conviction, tears of brokenness. Father, I pray that every day we would get away with you. We love you. We thank you for the time that we had together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, we want to sing a special song to a special couple.